I'm looking at Matthew 19:4 as well as Romans chapter 1. And the lesson that Wayne gave me, I think what Wayne did, he went down the list of all of his friends and the one that he wanted to get rid of, and he chose me. Because this lesson, the family under attack, homosexuality versus the family, if you've never seen a militant homosexual, then you have not seen violence. They can be extremely violent and extremely cruel and extremely mean. Does that mean that I think homosexuals are mean? No. The militant homosexual is a serious, serious problem. Those who fail to understand what a homosexual is, there are problems, but not with the violence that comes with a militant homosexual. In Matthew 19, verse 4, we read this. Jesus saith unto them, Have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female? And he said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. That passage does tell us what God wants. That passage does let us know the mind of God. As you look at Romans 1:26, you'll notice a second that gives us the mind of God as far as homosexuality is concerned. For this cause God gave them up unto vile passions. For the women changed the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working unseemliness, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due them. These passages make it clear that homosexuality is sinful in God's sight. They are sinful, but they are not unloved. And that's a vitally, vitally important thought for us to keep in mind. As you look on the television and you see militant homosexuality being exploited and demonstrated, periodically you will see a male and a male embrace one another and give a lustful sexual kiss, even when you're watching the news. Or you'll see two ladies who the news is showing the new marriage law, and two ladies will embrace and give not just a friendship kiss, but a sexual kiss in front of everybody. I do believe that that is not necessarily something that we want to see with our eyes. It is not tasteful to be viewing that on national television or any other place. We also see something that is just as hurtful and just as harmful to our senses. When we see an adulterer abandon his wife and his children, that is just as distasteful to those who are trying to be righteous before God, those who are trying to be pleasing unto God. That is ugly as well. What I mean by that is that homosexuality is no worse than any adultery or any other fornicator. They are both in God's sight wrong. And when I say wrong, I'm not saying that I'm going to take a stick or a gun and I'm going to beat on them. But I do want them to know what the Bible teaches. We do want men to understand what is sin and what is not sin. And when I say that something is sin, I'm not trying to be ugly with it. I'm trying to be clear with it. I'm trying to make sure that people understand what the Bible teaches. Because it doesn't matter what I believe and it doesn't matter what they believe unless what we believe is what the Bible says. And the Bible is clear. And whatever the Bible says, that is what we must do. The women's liberation movement, spouses cheating on their mates, divorce, absentee parents are tearing homes apart. Based upon the evidence before us, we must also add that the homosexual lifestyle is also tearing homes apart. It is attacking and devastating many families. Homosexuality attacks the home in about six ways. We'll see how many of those I can get through or get to. First of all, homosexuality attacks the home with agonizing disease. Male homosexuals are 430 times more likely to contact HIV than a heterosexual. The other day I was watching news or whatever it was, and they said that 10 times the number of murders committed by the male, and the television commentator was taken back by the fact that 10 times more murders are committed by males. Well, 430 times the homosexual is likely to contact HIV, a terrible and dreadful disease, and it's because of the lifestyle. Rutgers reports that in Africa alone, more than 12 million children under the age of 15 have lost one or both of their parents to HIV by the year to AIDS. And by the year 2010, 18 million orphans to the disease. Now you tell me whether homosexuality is attacking the home or not. But not only with disease, but also with death. Premature physical death comes because of the various problems that come along with the homosexual lifestyle itself. Government agencies report that 9 million children have lost one or both parents to AIDS in America. Thus, up to 18 million parents have died. Up to 18 million parents have lost their lives because of the lifestyle. Now keep in mind that the world is made up of only 2% of homosexual. It's not 10% like the news media would paint for us. It's not 12% or so as the homosexual lifestyle would paint for us. 2%. And yet, we have millions dying because of AIDS. There is also the death of the will. Gays are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. Why? Because their sinful lifestyle engenders depression and they can't get out of it because they're unable to get rid of the problem. And since they can't get rid of the problem, it drives them deeper and deeper into their own mind and into their own hurt. And I'll tell you what, every single one of you you've gone through a period or two of depression, but you came out of it. How would you like to stay in it and not get out of it? It is devastating to feel the way you do when depression hits. And that's the way many homosexuals are. What we want to do is be sure and hold out hope for every single homosexual. We don't want them to die in that depression. But they've got to get out of their sin. And they can get out of their sin. Not only is there the physical death and the death of the will, but there's the death of morality. 1/3 of all sexual crimes against children are committed by homosexuals, even though they only represent 2% of the population. Over 30% of the sexual crimes against children are perpetrated by homosexuals. That's the death of morality. And right now, the North American Man-Boy Love Association is trying to lower the age of consent so that they can have sex with children at a lower age. You do not want to go to their website. You do not want to be a part or know who they are. They are bent on their lifestyle. And if they hear me say that, they're going to come after me. So don't tell them I said that. We need to fight against the homosexual lifestyle, not only for the sake of our kids, but for the sake of the homosexual himself, herself. You hear me? We need to fight against the homosexual lifestyle, not just for our kids' sake, but for the homosexual themselves. Studies reveal that the homosexual chooses to ignore what we have to say. The homosexual lifestyle attacks the home because of disease, because of death, and because it is devastating to loved ones. It devastates the hearts of their spouse. Both adultery and homosexuality are fornication. Too many homosexuals follow the habits of adulterers. Similar to adulterers, the homosexual comes out of the closet and then goes out of the home and abandons the wife and abandons the children in order to carry on their illicit sexual activity with another man, one of their own gender. When a wife discovers that her husband has left her for another woman, it's devastating. But when a woman finds out that her husband has left her for another man, it is doubly devastating to her. I've had a few people in my office or study, and I've had a few of them bury their tears in their hands, crying because of what their wives have done. By the way, what their husbands have done as well. It's absolutely devastating to their hearts that their husbands would abandon them or their wives would turn to somebody else. And it is worse if that somebody else is of the same gender. Even the homosexual community recognizes that their lifestyle adversely affects others. I don't know whether you remember or not, about 6 months or so ago, there was a great movie, Hollywood said. Anytime Hollywood brags on a movie, you know what to do? Go about as far and as fast as you can from that movie, because I'll tell you what, it's going to be a sorry, sorry movie. It's going to have a great political message from the Hollywood's viewpoint, but it's not going to be a good movie. Well, there was a movie out about a year or so ago, 6 months ago, called Brokeback Mountain. Now, what's Brokeback Mountain? Well, I read a reviewer, and this reviewer is writing in favor of the homosexual lifestyle, the deviant behavior of a homosexual. And the movie is about two homosexual men. And in the review, the reviewer, writing in favor of the movie, says this: because their love, the two men, for each other can't be fitted into their lives, they think that they want to lead. Misery pursues and finally destroys the two men and everyone with whom they come in contact. By the end of the drama, indeed, whole families had been laid waste. And he's writing in behavior of that, in honor of that lifestyle. And yet, as he writes about it, he tells us that their lifestyle and the practicing of their lifestyle has destroyed everybody around them. Of course, somebody would say, well, it's society's fault. No, it's the behavior's fault. Avoid the behavior. Repent, and you will be better off. Your children will be better off. And your neighbors will be better off. Man, Ron, you sure are dogmatic about that. Don't you have any leeway for love or kindness or compassion for anybody? If I leave any suggestion to you that the deviant lifestyle is right, that will tell you I have no love for that person, because that lifestyle is going to cost them their happiness. I want every man to be happy, but even more importantly than that, I want every single person to appear before the judgment bar right with God. If you want to know gospel preacher's goal, the goal of a gospel preacher is to help everybody around them appear before the judgment bar of God with a smile on their face. I want to help. I don't want to hurt. But I may have to say some things that you consider to be hurtful in order to help. I notice furthermore, fourthly, that the homosexual lifestyle attacks the home by redefining the meaning of the home. God established the meaning of the home and what a home was in Genesis chapter 2. You may remember that God created man, and then he caused a great sleep to come upon man. And he took from his side a rib, and he made a woman. And he said, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." Now right there and right then, God established what he thought was best for man. Remember, when God created man, he didn't say, "How can I get him in a bad situation?" God didn't say, "You know, I think that husbands and wives are going to fight a lot, so let's watch this fight." God said, "It is good." When he made one woman and one man. Now, the deviation from that causes a lot of problems. And whenever you turn to Matthew chapter 19, I realize that Jesus is referring to divorce of his day as he's being asked that question. But what the Lord does, he goes back to the very beginning and he says, "Have you not read? Did you not see what God did at the very beginning? Do you not see how that answers your question concerning divorce? But by the way, it also answers our question concerning what we're talking about, concerning the home. In the beginning, God made them male and female." God made them male and female. You remember the old saying, "God made them Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve." The homosexual community has heard that particular saying and they do not like it. They call it a sarcastic condemnation of homosexuality. It is clear that the God-given illustration intended to show the mind of God and what God saw would make man happy. To say that God created them Adam and Eve is not a sarcastic condemnation of the homosexual lifestyle. It is a clear indication of what the home should be. A male and a female. Not females and not males. And not male-male and female-female. The homosexual rejoinder is, quote, "Certain it is obvious that procreation is a function of sexuality or none of us would be here." Did you hear that? They say that the purpose of husband and wife is procreation, and they recognize that if their lifestyle were practiced by everyone, we would not have life any longer after one generation. He recognizes that, but he continues on and he says, "But, number one, is procreation the sole reason and purpose of sex? Number two, along these lines, is homosexual contrary to God's will? Is it?" He continues, "Even though these two questions may not be answered in the Bible to our satisfaction, we do know some things for sure. Homosexuality is here." Satisfaction. Whose satisfaction? Whose satisfaction? The Bible answers clearly both of these questions. To my satisfaction. But the Bible has never answered to the sinner's satisfaction. They are always looking for a different way than what God has said. If they would quit looking for their own direction, it is not in man to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 23. But instead, if they would look at what God has said, then they would be going in the right direction and it would be satisfying as to what God has said. They're not satisfied with what God has said. He even says he's not satisfied with what God has said. God hasn't answered in a satisfying way, he lets us know. I guess that's why those in the homosexual bent say things like, "I wonder when so many of us have become this closed-minded." You see, you're closed-minded. Or, "Christian fundamentalists often use the Bible to promote discrimination against homosexuals and oppose gay marriage." It's not a matter of being closed-minded. It's not a matter of discrimination. It's a matter of, thus saith the Lord, and what is best when it comes to the home. In John 7:17, Jesus said, "He that willeth to do his will shall know whether it be of God." Now, very clearly what God said is this. Here's what I thought God said years gone by. I thought God said, "He that wills to know God's will know." That is not at all what God said. God said, "He that willeth to do God's will know of the doctrine." Therefore, those who say, "I don't understand the Bible," are saying, "I don't will to do His will. I don't plan on doing His will." Now, we may have to do some study to figure out what the will of God is. But the will of God in our lives is within the Scriptures. And if we search for the answer someplace else, we are not going to be satisfied. Ever. But to follow the Word of God, we're going to be satisfied. We're going to be happy. We're going to be contented. And we will be blessed eternally as well. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, my apologies. Let's see what the will of God is in the matter of the purpose of sex. I'm not going to dwell on this, but I think it's important for the homosexual to hear and to know this passage is in the book. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth and correcting a host of problems that they had, said this, "But because of fornications," plural on the word fornication, "let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband." You can't get any clearer than that passage. Number one, he said, "Let each man." He said, "Let each woman." That doesn't leave anybody out. "Let each man have his own" what? His own wife. Not his own girlfriend. Not his own shack up. Not his own man. Not his own boy. Not his own child. Which is what some of them want. But let each man have his own wife. And that's exactly what God said in the very beginning. So we do not need someone to come along and redefine what the home is. All we need to do is to follow the Scriptures and understand what God wants and keep everybody on the same plane. As I said before, even the homosexual recognizes that if the world, worldwide, were to follow their lifestyle, the world, as mankind, would cease in one generation because there wouldn't be any procreation. Fifthly, homosexuality attacks the home by demanding sin be excused. God Himself has delineated homosexuality as sin. It has always been sinful. The law given to the fathers at the very beginning shows that homosexuality is sinful. We've covered Genesis chapter 2. We've looked at Jesus and how He used Genesis chapter 2 out of Matthew 19:4. As you look at Genesis chapter 18, why did God destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? One of the main problems at Sodom and Gomorrah, we now have the very name sodomy based upon what occurred in Sodom and Gomorrah. Men burned within themselves for men. And that was a transgression in God's sight, and He destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. In 2 Peter, He said, "Remember." And I think more people need to remember Sodom and Gomorrah. The law of Moses clearly shows that it's sinful. In Leviticus 20, as well as Leviticus 18, but especially 20:13, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. That's what's wrong with you Christians. What you want to do is kill every soul homosexual on the earth. That's what. Look, you just read that, and that's what you want to do. No, it's not. We're not under the law of Moses any longer. It would be sinful for me to take the life of a homosexual because he's a homosexual. It would be sinful for me to be cruel to a homosexual because he's a homosexual. or for any other reason. I must be kind to him as I am to my brother in Christ. I can prefer my brother in Christ, Romans chapter 12. But we must understand, I cannot pick up stones and sticks and beat a deviant. Man, that's ugly. No, I want you to understand what we're saying. The law of Christ, as well as the patriarchal law, as well as the law of Moses, teaches that the homosexual lifestyle is sinful. I'm looking at Romans chapter 1, verse 26, yet again. And Paul makes it clear that God gave them up. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile passions. Underline that word in verse 26. For their women, and now he tells you what vile passions are and what he means by that. For women change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise so also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working unseemliness. That makes it clear what's wrong. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was due them. I've been saying that homosexuality is sinful. Paul says the same thing, but he uses the word error. He uses the word unseemliness. He uses the word vile passions. He uses the word lust, one with the other. Burning in their lust, that which is not natural. God did not make them that way. How did God make them? Genesis chapter 2, Matthew chapter 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. It's very clear what the mind of God is and what is the transgression of the mind of God and what is wrong. I say again that physical violence in opposition to homosexuality is contrary to the law of Christ. However, if we fail to voice opposition to the homosexual practices, children will believe that wrong is right. And it will not be the first time that they call good evil and evil good. And our society is running rampant with calling good evil and evil good. And we must voice our opposition against the homosexual lifestyle. But we must not be cruel. We must not be mean. We must not be the offspring of Satan when we talk to them. We're after the minds and the imaginations of men. We're after the will of men. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that's what Paul is talking about when he says, our warfare is not physical. Don't pick up a gun. Don't join the crusades. It's not right. There is no such thing as going to war in the name of God. Even when it comes to sinful activities. But there is such a thing as a fight the good fight of faith. It's a spiritual fight, not a physical fight. I'm not going to shake my fist at someone in sin. I'm going to ask them to study what the Bible says and how to get out of sin so that they can stand in judgment and I can stand right alongside of them as a brother in Christ. And God will say, well done. Now listen, if the homosexual can voice his opposition to the Bible doctrine, we as Christians ought to be able to voice our opposition to their opposition of the Bible. The old saying goes something like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I don't know whether we're gooses or ganders, but I do know this. I'm going to give them the right. I'm going to ask them to voice their opposition to the Bible. But I'm going to ask them to listen to me and those who are speaking on the other side. I don't want to hide those things in a corner. I don't want to go someplace and let them do their talking and we do our talking. I would like to have us to have a public debate. Let this be a public challenge to any one of them. Any one of them, if they will have, and watch this closely, if they will have a courteous audience, we'll be there and we'll discuss their lifestyle. And I find that a great, great opportunity. Don't you? But I expect us to be courteous And we demand that we be courteous. Because our fellow man is lost and will be lost eternally if we don't preach unto him the gospel of Christ and let him see that Christ died for him as much as he died for you and died for me. We must fight against it. Homosexuality destroys the home by failing to identify homosexuality. I'm not going to go into this, but if you want to know what I'm saying, I believe there is such a thing as mental abnormality. I believe there is such a thing as physical abnormality, and people are born that way, and not a one of them were made that way by God. But I furthermore believe that there are sexual abnormalities, and God didn't make them that way either. If somebody wants to go into that with me, I'll be glad to tell you what I mean fully and clearly. Lastly, the homosexual lifestyle attacks the home by demanding the home change. A host of laws are trying to be passed in order to say, this is not right in the home. 5 minutes. This is not right. First of all, they want to change the abortion laws in order for a man and a man to adopt a child, a woman and a woman to adopt a child. Hate crime laws are passed in order to keep you from saying the very thing that I'm saying tonight. The very thing that I'm saying tonight will not be allowed, possibly, in future pulpits. And in some pulpits, it is not allowed, even in the United States. Same-sex marriage laws are passed to this same effect. The battle with the Boy Scouts of America, the New Jersey Supreme Court, passed and made a decision that the Boy Scouts of America over the nation had to have Boy Scouts and Scout leaders that were homosexuals, and they knew it was such. That's totally against the rules and regulations of the Boy Scouts of America. However, the Supreme Court of the United States made the decision in the opposite direction. But what will happen the next 10 years, the next 20 years? What will happen when your grandchildren have grandchildren? The school curriculum is being instituted, and it includes in the plays and other areas the homosexual lifestyle. Plays that are written for the school specifically for the purpose of advocating and promoting the homosexual lifestyle. Remember this, we're not talking about tolerance of our fellow human beings. We're talking about a deviant lifestyle. TV series were displayed to this same effect. When the first kiss on television occurred, it was a horror, a cry, and a host of other things. Today, those same people can kiss and not a word is said anywhere. That's within 2 decades that has occurred. There's an article that I have in the book for you that points out what some of the homosexual advocators are saying and advocating. Here's a quote. We shall sodomize your sons. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your school arenas, sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouse, in your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress, your sons will be recast in our image. We do not need to fear. We need to fight the Christian fight to save the souls of those who are following this lifestyle. Just as society makes laws against other forms of abuses perpetrated by fornicators, communities ought to legislate against abuses committed by homosexuals. The North American Men Boy Association must not be free to fulfill their lewd desires with children. It is not a matter of being honest and coming out of the closet. It has to do with keeping your life to yourself, like the rest of society ought to keep their life to themselves. I pray if anyone here has the particular lifestyle, that when later on the invitation is given, you will repent. we will rejoice.